Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watts for Jack Watts Live, broadcasting to you today from the 10th floor of the We Believe Tower in Midtown Atlanta, overlooking the majestic Buckhead skyline, where we have had a great deal of rain, but we never complain about that because we had drought a few years ago, and now we like everything to be green and lush. Here we are today, essentially 3 months from the next election. And this is going to, every time that we have an election, people say, well, this is going to be the most important election of your lifetime. And, of course, presidential elections are always more important than midterm elections. But in this particular case, I think that the 2014 midterm elections are by far the most important ones of its kind in a number of years. And the reason for that is our president wants to govern unilaterally. He wants to do whatever he wants to do to enforce the laws that he likes, disregarding the laws that he does not like, aiding laws based on his executive orders, which definitely goes around the Constitution. It is the Congress where laws are created. The president's job is to enforce them, and the Supreme Court's job is to say which ones are right and which ones aren't, as far as are we following the Constitution or not. It's a system that has worked for 225 years quite well. Right now, it's being challenged in a number of ways. And these examples of it are really pretty incredible. The entire incident of these unaccompanied kids down on the border is a perfect example. This is something that was conjured up in president's mind, or something that he got from one of his leftist teachers when he was in college or graduate school, that said, one thing that you can do is overwhelm the system, and that will bring about societal chaos, and everything will just cave in. And bringing these unaccompanied kids to the United States and granting them citizenship and amnesty immediately is part of a strategy to do just that. Now, the thing that's the most interesting is that as far back as January, the Department of Homeland Security, part of the Obama administration, went out of its way to try and find vendors who could take these kids and bring them to the United States. So essentially, we are paying for people to find these kids in El Salvador and Guatemala, bring them to the United States with the promise that they are going to be able to get amnesty and citizenship and be able to bring their extended families as a result of it. So this 90,000 that are here now roughly would probably equate to about 500,000 or 600,000. Now, there have been ads paid for, television ads paid for by us in these countries saying, come on, and we will give you, it's a quick pathway to citizenship. So this, the entire thing is a con and has been foisted upon the American people who knew absolutely nothing about it. My guess is that very few members of Congress knew anything about it, and certainly none of the leadership of the House of Representatives, which is Republican and in full opposition to these type of things that Barack Hussein Obama is doing. Now, this is so perverted that it's difficult to get your arms around it and even conceptualize such a thing. If you don't like a president, you get really angry and upset with them, and you just say, well, you know, this person's no good, he can't do this, this, and this. But rarely, actually never, has there been a president where you actually question whether their intention is in the best interest of the United States of America. They take an oath to abide by and defend the Constitution. Now, if you're a conservative, you don't like some of the things that the liberal presidents do, but you don't think that they just look at things differently. It isn't, their viewpoint of what America should be is one thing and differs from yours, but you don't believe in your heart that they want to destroy the nation. You might think that their policies are doing just that, but they at least believe that they have America's best interests at heart. I don't believe Barack Obama has America's best interests at heart. I don't believe he ever has. I don't believe he ever will. I don't believe anything that he is doing is aimed at the best interest of the United States of America. Best. His goal is to manage our decline in foreign policy. We had the reset button. Hillary Clinton did this with the foreign secretary of Russia. And the reset button, you know, the whole thing from Staples, old ads, is that, well, you know, we just want a new era of good feelings with Russia. It didn't work. Russia has taken Crimea. They're about to invade the Ukraine. And if they do, this will be the first time since 1939, when the Germans invaded Poland, which launched World War II. The things that happened in the Middle East pale in comparison to the importance of what is happening in Eastern Europe. World War could ignite. Now, I know all of the biblical enthusiasts think that, well, you know, these are the signs of the end times with everybody being against Israel, and you know, we're close to the rapture and the millennial kingdom of Christ, and that may be. but it's certainly not for certain. And no one knows the times, period. Speaking of the Middle East, we are in full retreat there as well, as Obama is initiating our decline in foreign policy so that our influence in the Middle East is declining. Israel doesn't trust us anymore. They're our number one ally. They don't trust us at all. How could they? John Kerry's peace initiative said, well, Israel, stop your attacks in Gaza and let the tunnels remain intact. The United States of America was on the side of Hamas in that initiative. The only purpose for those tunnels was so that Hamas suicide fighters, other side of the border into Israel with bombs and guns and motorcycles so that they could speed through parts of the country and create their attacks in many different zones, targeting primarily schools because their goal was to kill kids more than anything. And this attack was supposed to be launched on the 24th of September this year during the Jewish high holidays. Hamas wanted to kill, kind of, it'd be like Christmas for us, to launch an attack all over on Christmas to kill Americans in Israel. The high holidays would be to kill Jews, obviously, and that's what they wanted to do. Now, here are the things that bother me the most about President Obama, and it's that his whole worldview is that the United States is too rich, too powerful, too influential, too strong. And his goal was to take us down a notch or two or three or four in each of those areas. And his policies have done just that. If we can bring people into the country who are really not capable of taking care of themselves, and we have to take care of them, that will atrophy our wealth and our ability to be strong by having policies in Europe and the Middle East primarily, although somewhat in Asia also, but the Middle East for sure and Eastern Europe, of withdrawal, of abdicating power and responsibility and pulling back. What has this done? This has increased the power and influence of Russia in the Middle East. Excuse me, in Eastern Europe. Whenever there's a vacuum, it's always filled. In the Middle East, the whole goal of taking out Gaddafi and of supporting the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt was to have this Arab Spring. And isn't this a wonderful thing? Well, as we have learn to our chagrin, the radical Muslims want to kill their political opponents, kill the Jews, put women in their place, and when I say put them in their place, put them in burqas at best, and if you don't like your wife, accuse her of adultery and have her stoned to death. And these are the things that they're doing routinely, while at the same time, and these are the people that Obama administration is championing, while at the same time talking about the war on women in America, and conservatives are against women in America, and he's the champion of them. And yet he's siding with people that are stoning women to death in the Middle East. That doesn't quite get it, does it? There's a real significant disconnect there, isn't there? Incidentally, he's the big champion of homosexuals in the United States. Absolutely. When he went to Russia for the G20 in St. Petersburg, he made sure to meet with gay groups there before the Olympics. And you know, to just kind of thumb his nose in the face of the Orthodox people in Russia, and to champion homosexuality, and yet at the same time, his allegiance is with Hamas and the Muslim Brotherhood, and they execute homosexuals for being homosexual. How does that doesn't jive, does it? There's just things about that that just are incongruent and inconsistent, obviously. And yet, in America, fools that they are, gay people love Obama, and women's group think he is wonderful. I don't get it. Cost some people some things for sure in the future, but that's another story. Now, if you have a worldview that wants to champion the decline and manage the decline of the United States of America, Barack Hussein Obama is your guy. And Hillary Clinton will be your gal. If you still believe in American exceptionalism and that we can be the greatest nation on earth, we can be stronger militarily, we can increase our standard of living, which has been on a steady decline, and I don't have to tell you that, you know it. Unless you're very, very blessed, you know that the dollar doesn't stretch very far anymore, unless you're one of the criminals in the Obama administration. All right, being the case, if you agree that American exceptionalism is still a goal to be achieved, how do we do it? How do we get from here to there? Now, the Democrats are the ones that are talking about impeachment. Well, you know, we're going to, you know, if Obama's impeached, da-da-da. Well, that's not going to happen. Let me tell you what. The House of Representatives could come up with offenses that are impeachable and present them, but the trial for it would be in the Senate. The House could actually do it because there are enough people in there who are conservatives that would love to get rid of Obama. In the Senate, you need two-thirds of the members to vote yes, he is guilty of treason or high crimes and misdemeanors. Two-thirds. That's 67 votes. Right now, there are 55 Democrats and 45 Republicans. Let's just say that all the Republicans would vote for it, which they probably wouldn't. But let's just say they would. That's 45. How do you get from 45 to 67? That's 22 Democrats that would need to do that, which would be the kiss of death for their careers. And it won't happen. And Harry Reid won't let it happen. He is more protective of Barack Hussein Obama than the Secret Service. He needs to go, Harry Reid. Coming elections, in order to get him out, because there are 55 Democrats and 45 Republicans, a total of 6 seats need to become Republican, 6 additional seats. That's a lot for one election. It's quite a bit. Hard to do. But it might happen because 40% of all Americans strongly oppose Obama. Only 15% of Americans strongly support Obama. 40 strongly oppose, 15 strongly support. That's according to the latest Reuters poll that has just come out in the last 3 or 4 days. It's 25% difference. Huge number. It was even 6 or 7 months ago. There were 30% that strongly opposed Obama and 30% that strongly favored him. His policies and the way he is governed, or lack thereof, and the scandals have created this huge block, 40%, that oppose him, and only 15 who still drink the Kool-Aid and strongly support him. That's a big deal. And I think that that's going to translate into races across the United States for the Senate that can actually flip it. Now, where are the opportunities to change the Senate? Number one, North Carolina. There's a sitting Democrat, Kay Hagan. Getting rid of her is probably it's not going to be easy, but that's one vote that needs to change. Second, there's an open seat in Georgia, my home state. We need to send Perdue to take over for the retiring Saxby Chambliss instead of this nitwit, Michelle Nunn. Third, in Kentucky, which is Mitch McConnell's seat, he's got a real strong, pretty girl. Golly, she's pretty. Who's running against him. He needs to be able to hold on to that seat. He probably will. In Louisiana, Mary Landrieu needs to go down. If she does, we've picked up 2 seats. That's one that that can happen. Arkansas, with Mark Pryor, he needs to go down too. That would be a net gain of 3. There's an open seat in Iowa, and the woman who is running there is very strong, and I actually think that that can happen. So that would be a pickup of 4. It's likely that Montana, with that fellow that the guy in the military that got caught plagiarizing that dropped out of the election. Well, the Democrats are, they got to find a new candidate, and it's already August, and the election's in November. That's going to be really hard for them. So I'm thinking we're going to pick that up. I think we'll also pick up South Dakota and Kansas. We have an outside shot at Colorado with Udall. You notice that Udall is being very strong against Obama. It's because there are a lot of there in his state that don't like him, and he's trying to, like he's an independent tough guy. Nonsense. Here's the thing. And this is what you need to keep in mind. There are lots of votes that a senator makes. All of them have importance. But the first vote in the new Congress that they make, who will they support to be head of the Senate? Every Democrat will vote for Harry Reid. Every Republican will vote for Mitch McConnell. Now, if Harry Reid stays in, Obama remains unchecked. It's as simple as that. If McConnell is in, then both houses in Congress are going to be in direct opposition to Obama and his ability to bring us down is going to be sharply curtailed. That's why this is so important. Please understand this. All right, now, in the Senate races, I forgot, I need to go back. West Virginia is going to definitely go for the Republicans, too. I don't, those people are so mad because of what's happened to the coal industry because of Obama that they won't have anything to do with it. We've got also a fair chance of picking up Alaska. If everything falls together in January, it could be as high as 54 Republicans with 46 Democrats. If that's the case, Obama's goose is cooked. He will not be able to bring us down. If the American people do not stand up in opposition and Harry Reid remains leader of the Senate, no telling where we're going to be in another 2 years. You say, well, what's just 2 years? We've got debt that's a mile high. We're in current debt of $17.5 trillion. When Obama took over, it was 10. He's nearly doubled what's happened throughout our history. 5 years. This is a huge problem and one that has to be solved. If we don't, we're going to go down. That's why I think this is so important this year. We can't sit on our duffs and do nothing and say, well, somebody needs to do something about that. The time is now, and the time is for people like you and me to do exactly what we're supposed to do, to be strong and courageous. For such a time as this, we have been brought to this place, and I'm asking you to be strong and be firm. We're out of time. So let me just say, God bless you. God bless the United States of America. Good night.